What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Where we fall in love with romantic comedies all over again, one decade at a time. I'm Jess Sterling, and of course, I'm joined by my co-host, who always looks pretty in pink, if he would ever wear it, Stuart. Stuart, how are you?
I'm good. I'd make a joke about only wearing pink on Wednesdays, but we record this on Wednesdays, so I'm kind of screwed there.
Yeah. Although we release it on Fridays, so people wouldn't, you know. Technically,
yeah, sorry, I'm shattering the illusion.
How dare you?
Terrible. Pulling back the curtain. This is not good. This is what happens on a season finale, Jess. Mm-hmm. Lose all semblance of the rules.
Yeah,
and decorum.
The rules are out the window. We're chugging along. We're stumbling across the finish line. That's what I was going to say.
We're the little engine that could. We think we can. We think we
can. We are now Thomas the Train. And we're talking about Pretty in Pink, your 1980s pick. What is this face?
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
Yes, it was my pick.
Yeah.
But given some hostile reaction we've had from people, I don't want it attributed to me.
You picked it. I didn't. And here we are. Wow. It is How dare you bring Merv back into this? We got past Merv, okay? We've talked through Merv in therapy together. It's over. You can't bring back Merv into this argument again. It is a John Hughes movie. Of course, stars Molly Ringwald, John Cryer, Harry Dean Stanton. It's very like Brat Pack, John Hughes 80s movie. It felt like something we should cover in terms of getting the full gambit of rom-coms.
Yeah.
And this especially feels like it slots right into that 80s rom-com spot. So yeah, I mean, Stuart, I want to know, I've seen this before, granted decades ago, but this is the first time you've ever watched this movie. What did you think?
Well, on I've discovered was a rewatch. I have seen this
movie. You've seen this movie? That's hilarious.
But years and years and years ago. And I don't think I saw it the entire way through. Because there was a lot I didn't remember. So mm-hmm. I was quite surprised by the ending. Didn't quite know where it's going. But there were some like real key scenes that I do remember, such as like the lip syncing in the record store. Mm-hmm. The amazing
try a little tenderness. Yeah, classic.
The record store owner, like icon. And also weirdly, just some of the more problematic elements of this, because I think even though I watched this quite a while ago, even then I went, that doesn't quite pass the vibe check.
Uh-huh.
Good podcast fodder though.
Certainly. I feel like in my memory, so my memory of this film, I watched it when I had to be a teenager. I went through a like John Hughes 80s movie kind of moment in my teens. Breakfast Club, Pretty in Pink, 16 Candles, St. Elmo's Fire, kind of all of them. And I don't know. I recall adoring Ducky when I watched this originally. I don't anymore.
Yeah. And what is it about the stalker like behavior and just the absolute disrespect for a woman's like, you know, personal space that you didn't enjoy jazz?
Here's the thing. I think when I was that age, I really had a soft spot for the friend who's like secretly in love with their best friend and isn't given a chance because they're not like the cool guy, you know, but they're always there. I really think I had a soft spot. I think he also, let's face it, this movie, the leads are so fucking boring. Like, they're so boring that, like, at the very least, Ducky has personality. So, like, I think at least he's engaging. I think John Cryer really, like, seems to revel in this role of Ducky. And so he has his moments. But when the best parts of the movie are Ducky, who is still, like, annoying and problematic, and Iona, who is, like, barely there. That's a problem. So yeah. I didn't remember it, or I didn't like it as much as I did when I watched it originally. Still think there are like interesting things to discuss, and like, unlike Merv, like at least like the fashion stuff is kind of like fun as like a time capsule. There's like certain things that are interesting. But yeah, it's not that great.
Yeah, I kind of think that it's just an example of a film that's just not aged that great. Because I think through a more modern lens, I think this film could be an absolute banger with like more compelling leads, for one. Obviously removing quite a few elements that were just not great. But, like, I think the dynamic of, like, looking at, like, cliques and social hierarchies, class resentment, like, those are really, like, I mean, still applicable themes, sadly. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of like a universal, because I don't think it's ever anything that would truly go away. And it was something that was more heightened back in the day. Like, I kind of feel that the sense of classism and like cliques and clique culture and things has kind of dissipated a little bit. Like Mean Girls was a bit of a mockery of it. And I feel like everything I hear from teachers is that that's kind of gone away in the sense of like judgment for the kind of weird kids. Like every kid is weird now. Every kid is their own unicorn in the sense of like they're the star of the show kind of thing. So I kind of feel like that it's slightly less applicable there, but I still feel like the class elements, particularly with the whole eat the rich kind of like notion, is fully still available. Sure. And so is kind of possibly rescuable. And so I kind of am a little bit more generous, I think, with my take on it. Because of that reason, because I kind of think that the themes are still appropriate and, you know, still around. But yeah, you do have to do a lot of forgiving for what is some substantial heavy lifting being done by a supporting cast of one.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll do a quick recap in case people didn't check the movie out or didn't revisit the movie, and then we'll kind of dive into it. A high school senior, Andy, played by Molly Ringwald, of course, lives with her unemployed father, which we will talk about, and makes her own clothes. Naturally, she gets bullied at school for being poor. Her best friend is over-the-top Ducky, who's also secretly, and I put secretly very much in quotes, in love with her. She works at Trax, which is a record store run by her other friend, seemingly 30-something, a quirky Iona who I just adore, I gotta say.
Mm-hmm.
Everything changes when popular Richie Richardson Blaine pops into the record store and eyes up Andy. Who knows why he likes her, but he does. Despite their class differences, he asks her out. It goes horribly when he brings her to his rich friend Steph's party. Steph, played by James Spader, by the way. all his friends are fucking rude to her. Things get worse when then they go to a club Andy frequents and Ducky is a fucking dick. Now, somehow, this date ends in a really big kiss. And they're in love, question mark. Because that's all it takes, is one kiss at the end of a pretty fucking bad date. Anyway, Blaine asks her to prom. But after Steph gives him a hard time about dating such a trashy low-class girl, he doesn't answer her calls and avoids her completely. She tells him off in probably one of the better scenes of the movie and decides to go to prom alone. Meanwhile, Ducky overhears Steph and Blaine's conversation and tries to beat the shit out of Steph because masculinity. When Andy shows
chivalry.
Up.
Chivalry.
Sure. Chivalry is just a nice word for masculinity.
Chivalry timbers.
When Andy shows up to prom in a dress she created from Iona's prom dress and a dress her father bought. By the way, she didn't fucking tell Iona she was going to completely destroy this gorgeous dress. Ducky is there to escort her. He tells her Blaine showed up alone. And naturally, Blaine just does the whole whispering in the ear of, I love you. And of course, she forgives him and they kiss. Big, fat, whatever. That is the end of our film. Stuart, first thing off the bat I have to ask you is, did you know that the ending was originally different?
What? No.
Yeah.
Was it?
Originally. How? Yeah. The ending was completely reshot. So originally, Molly Ringwald is Andy, is supposed to end up with Ducky. I think they did like test audiences. They did like a test audience and they didn't like it. And so they ended up having to reshoot the ending. And the other thing is Molly Ringwald was like very, very ill on the final day of shooting the original ending. And so you may have noticed, I'm not sure if you spotted this, Blaine's hair looks very different in the prom scene because the actor had gotten a haircut in between like the end of filming and the reshots. So he's wearing like an auburn looking wig.
Wig watch.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently John Hughes was unhappy with the ending because he wanted Andy to get together with Ducky, but the studio wanted Andy with Blaine. And so apparently he made another film, which I won't name in case you do want to watch it, that had another love triangle. And he wanted Molly Ringwald to be in it, but she did not want to. And apparently Hughes took it very personally.
What do you mean you don't want to film the exact same film again, despite having filmed that film with two endings?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, gosh. I mean, I'm not surprised because, I mean, audience testing back in the day was a lot more kind of like compelling because it really was like such a big deal. I'm surprised to read that they actually booed the ending. That's kind of wild.
And interestingly enough, like when, so I, there was some sort of like 20 year like interview with the three biggest stars, Ducky, mm-hmm. Blaine and Andy. And in it, Molly Ringwald was like, yeah, I think her and Blaine would have like broken up very soon after. And probably years later, Ducky comes out as gay. Like, I mean, probably played by John Cryer, you know. I mean, and I
think that'd be a good like flat, like end credit scene or something like that. Just be like cut to them breaking up the next week. And then we get another scene later on and it's like, her getting ready to like get married or something, and then mm-hmm. Ducky comes out and it's like, oh, they got together, and then it turns out no, best man at the wedding, or you know, chief bridesmaid, kind of honorific, and she's getting married to someone else. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just so surprised that if there was an alternative ending, that the ending wasn't her telling them both to go fuck themselves. And
well, this is the 80s. We didn't have, you know, women's rights. Women weren't allowed to be alone, you know?
It's tragic. But yeah. That's not
her entire life is tragic, to be honest.
Is it though? Like,
can we talk about the fact that her mom just like up and left the family a few years ago, and seemingly her father has never recovered to the point where she has to parent him. And I assume they kind of live off of her part-time job, being that he never works.
Yeah, okay, I will concede, yes. Andy's life is not that great. Had Andy gone with her mother, like if the mother had taken Andy with her, perfect. Because I do not begrudge the mother for leaving him. Like, they kind of, I don't know, stress that maybe there's like an element of like mental health going on here.
Yeah.
And like, he seems to be like certainly depressed, but then it seems to be a symptom of obviously everything that happened there. Like, they don't really like layer it to be something else beyond that and to be something more complex, yeah. Right?
I didn't get I don't know. I guess we don't know for sure. I assumed his issues with, you know, not having a job and not really getting out of bed came up after her mom left, based on the conversation he has with Ducky about like the one person I loved left me, and he never really recovered. But it could be that he had these issues prior to her leaving, and that was part of the reason she left. I guess the bigger question is then like, well, if you're going to leave and he has all these issues, why are you leaving your daughter with him? Like, you know, think you, theoretically she would take her daughter with her. But it just feels like no one is really looking out for Andy besides Ducky, who is very immature. Like, he's fun. I think he like energizes a scene that he's in, right? Like, I think Ducky as a character is energetic and fun in a way that like Andy and Blaine are not. And so he's fun to have around, but he's also just like so much. Like the setting off the like fire alarm, or like, what are you doing though? Like, why are you doing this to me? It's just so much.
It's not a good look. And also, like, he is a full year older than her, right? Like, he's in the year above her at school because he's about to.
No, they're both seniors.
Okay, so, but he was like, why then would she? Oh,
he
wait,
was
okay.
Failing school.
He's failing school, but is that just to get her to tutor him?
That's what she's accusing him of. She's accusing him of like wanting attention, and it's obvious that he loves her, so he's probably not trying just to get her help. But they're both seniors about to graduate. They've been friends since they were children, and he's been in love with her, and yeah.
Yeah, I think I took that the wrong way. I took it that he was trying to fail so he could spend the next year with her, like to get like that.
No, she's also a senior.
Okay, yeah, that makes more sense. And especially why they're going to like prom. Prom is like the end of school thing. Like,
depends
you don't have a
prom on the school.
Every year, do you?
No, depends on the school. A lot of people, senior prom is their like very big prom. In my school, we had junior and senior prom, and junior was the big one. But for this school, senior prom is like the big deal that they're talking about. But what I don't understand, shifting a little bit to Blaine here, is like they really don't set this up well at all. Like, it's like he's like intrigued by her, like, ooh, who's that interesting girl with the silly hat and like round glasses, you know? Like, he's like, it's really strange because we are told that she is both like poor and unattractive, and of course, played by Molly fucking Ringwald, like, get a grip, know, people. Right? Yeah. But then also we have people like Blaine, who's very interested in her, and he's very like a country club, like Richie Richardson. Steph, who's a piece of shit, but obviously is hitting on her in the scene outside the school by the cars. And then Ducky, who's been like in love with her for 15 years. So it doesn't really make sense. And I guess my biggest problem is that they don't set up the Blaine romance kind of at all. It's just like he's intrigued by her because she's weird.
Mm-hmm. It's certainly, I think, a romance that's written by a guy, right? Because it's more like she's an object that he desires rather than her being, you know, having some complexity and him having an attraction that is beyond just, oh, look, pretty girl. Oddity that needs to be kind of, you know, examined. I kind of feel like I feel like his character needed more complexity in the sense of, like, why didn't they have something that they maybe perhaps bonded over? Or, like, I get that they kind of had this contrasting kind of recommendation with the music going on. There was that as a tenuous link. But there was nothing these two had in common except for what appeared to be physical attraction to each other.
That's the thing they have, I think. That's the only thing they have. And especially, like you said, Blaine... Because Andy has her quirks, right? She likes to make her own clothes. Like, I think her room, her bedroom has a lot of personality. She has interesting friends like Iona. I think Blaine has no personality at all. Like, he is so milquetoast. It's painful. He does nothing. Steph has more personality than him, and he's not the lead. And, you know, it just, he has nothing. And so, it's made worse again. We love an attractive, boring king, right? It's like, go off and do nothing. Like, I've said this before, that I feel like quiet guys often get a reputation of like, oh my God, he's so deep. I wonder what he's thinking about. Oh, he's so mysterious. And he's thinking about fucking nothing, dude. Like, there's nothing happening upstairs. But we like to assume that people are having these deep thoughts. And I feel like Blaine kind of falls into that category of like, oh, he's so beautiful. He must have these like very deep thoughts. And he's literally thinking about fucking nothing, bro. Like nothing. Mm-hmm. And what makes it worse than Stuart is that like, then when they do go out on the date, because the whole instant message thing, I don't even know what it was. Let's call it instant message because like this is the 80s.
Don't even get me started. I was livid.
It was so funny. Like, so ridiculous. When they actually do go out, he brings her to a party with his friends who are pieces of shit. Who, like, he goes to that school. He knows her and them don't get along. Why the fuck did you bring her there? And, like, pressure, not just bring her there, but she says she doesn't want to go. He pressures her to go. She relents. She goes. She's having a fucking horrible time. What does he do? Bring her upstairs. Leave the party.
Yeah, it's such a shame because what they try to do is they try to make him more likable by having him be incredibly charming with the whole like hand's gonna stay in here, and then he picks up the beer with like the elbow and then the chips with like his mouth and stuff like that. Kind of goofy, like kind of charming. I reckon like it could work. And then they completely ruin it by just going upstairs and just sitting awkwardly while their friend's half naked in the room, like about to like make out with a girl. It's like, I just, nothing about it makes any sense whatsoever. And I it's almost as if, oh, he did that one thing, therefore we get to forgive every like bad thing that's happened to lead us here and everything bad that he does after this, because he made a little joke and he made a smile once. And it's like, it don't work like that. And it's just so supremely pig-headed as well to like completely not recognize that she's so uncomfortable, and it's just the worst situation. And like, even he recognizes by saying like, oh yeah, I hang out with some real like so-and-so's, I can't remember the exact quote, but he acknowledges that his friends are pieces of shit. So why does he stay? Don't understand.
He stays. Like, at the very least, I think her bringing him to the club she doesn't know Ducky is even going to be there. In fact, she probably assumes he's not going to be there because he's never been let in there in his life.
Never allowed in. Yeah.
So that makes sense to me. She doesn't expect him to be a complete fucking dick. Now, obviously, like, there was the whole scene earlier when she originally goes out with him and Ducky's like, I lost all respect for you, blah, blah, blah. Which, like, again, fucking red flag city. Like, where's the green flag? Where's a single fucking green flag? But it just, I don't understand how we go from terrible party that Blaine's friend has to really awful experience at the club when Ducky's a dick to Andy not wanting Blaine to drive her home because she's ashamed that she's so poor and he's not, to we're making out and we're in love. How did we get here? Like, I don't know how we arrived here. I don't know how we arrived at we're in love beyond we're 16 and fucking stupid. Like, I don't get it. I don't get it. Like, are they just dumb and young? And is that what it is?
They are young, yeah. And it's that... I guess it really does capture that kind of stupidity of young romance of just, oh, I'm walking into a terrible situation here of, like, you know, an emotional situation that I'm completely not prepared to face because, kiss. It's just stupid teenage brains that just can't comprehend their own, you know, well-being. But then I guess it does speak to the whole nature of, you know, teenage expectation, the whole element, I guess, of, like, well, he's better than me in terms of, like, having money. Like, she clearly has, like, she's not turned off by the money aspect. Like, she is the people, but she's not by the money, it seems. Like, she talks about it when she first raised it with Anya. She's like, oh, what'd you feel if I was dating, you know, a well-off guy kind of thing. It doesn't seem to be something that she's repulsed by. So I think it's treated as aspirational, at least in the writing. And I don't think it should be, but I think that's what they're trying to go for. Like, it's meant to be the, oh, we can overcome the fact that you're poor. I don't care. And it's like, oh, he's now so desirable because he's willing to overlook that aspect. It's exactly what you said. It's just so baffling, the choices, and it's confusing as to, like, why and what they're really pitching.
Ugh. It's just kind of funny because I feel like if we're looking at, like, the class difference romance, we can look at The Breakfast Club, which is came out a year earlier, also by John Hughes, that just did it so much better. It is just kind of funny. I don't know. I didn't understand how suddenly they were in love. He asks her to prom. Okay, great. One conversation with Steph and all of that is out the window, basically, because it's like, well, either you can have your friends or you can have that trash. And it's like, well, okay. So Blaine does, and this I will say at least felt in line with his character of, like, being a shithead and having just, like, can't even have the audacity. I'm just so frustrated. He doesn't say anything. He just, like, avoids her. He quiet quits this relationship. He just ghosts her. Doesn't answer the phone. Doesn't call her back. It's very obvious his parents don't even know who she is because, again, this was before cell phones and everything. Like, he just avoids her. And that's, at the very least, we got the scene in the hallway where she is like, you're a liar! Ah! Because that was a little cathartic, I suppose.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. I was like, yeah, you tell him. But also, I mean, like, some better choices wouldn't have got me in the situation. Or some awareness, I think, and maybe a sense of self-worth for a lot of the kind of red flags that he was presenting being spotted. But again, I put that down to just teenage stupidity in the sense of, like, you know, that kind of blinker of just, oh, I'm in love. And I'm not going to see all the problems that are going on. It's so conflicting for me because on the one hand, I'm like, yeah, this really does capture that real teenage feeling of just, oh, the whole world is so important based on who I choose and love. Like Ducky's whole thing, like when he's there alone in her room and he's like, oh, I love her so much. Like, it's crush. you'll get over it. Yeah. Like, you'll move on kind of thing. So it captures that sense really well. But then objectively, when you do look at it, I'm just like, I don't want to buy into this belief that teenagers are that fucking dumb.
Yeah. Yeah. It does give the vibe of high school. Like, I will say, like, you know, the fighting and the bullying and the, you know, like the intensity of the feelings that you feel romantically, like all of those things feel in general, I guess all of those things feel accurate. It's just that I don't finish the movie wanting her to be with any of these people. Yeah. I want her to go fuck around and hang out with Iona, please, God. Like, also, I don't know that I liked the messaging with Iona either, where she, like, ends up really liking a guy and wears a blazer because of it. And it's like, girly pop, go off with your spiky hair. Like, it's fucking weird, but it's original. You know, like, it just, I don't know. I just didn't think the messaging really held up.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Hey, Sal.
Hank, what's going on? We haven't worked a case in years.
I just bought my car at Carvana, and it was so easy. Too easy.
Think something's up?
You tell me. They got thousands of options.
Mm-hmm.
Found a great car at a great price.
Uh-huh.
And it got delivered the next day.
It sounds like Carvana just makes it easy to buy your car, Hank.
Yeah, you're right. Case closed.
Buy your car today on Carvana. Delivery fees may apply.
Since you point out, like, kind of the change of the ending and stuff, I kind of looked into it, and like Molly Ringwald was like expressed some reservation at the ending and said that it's not like a real Cinderella story to have her get with Ducky. And I think that's probably the framing of it, is they kind of think that getting with the rich guy is the win.
Yeah.
And I think that's why we're really jarred by this, because
That's not it, that's not the
really it should be that she kind of realizes that none of these guys are good for her, that she is just better, you know, like seeing what else is out there. Like, it,
I like, wouldn't mind her dancing with Ducky, like at the dance, but like not in a romantic way, like to an upbeat song, you know. I think a lot of it, if you ask me, I think some of it at least is in part because, so Molly Ringwald, number one, was involved in the casting process in terms of picking the Blaine. Originally, they wanted him to be hunkier, bigger, kind of more jockey looking. That's not who Blaine is, right? Like, Blaine is a more like polished, you know, more petite guy, I would say. And she said, well, that's the kind of guy I would fall in love with. I think we should have him instead. On top of that, Molly Ringwald and Andrew McCarthy, who plays Blaine, are both like fairly reserved people, I guess. And so John Cryer is kind of the opposite. He is outgoing, outlandish, very loud and boisterous. And he felt like they did not like him, like that they didn't really get along well. And I do feel like that is part of how I feel like that informs the actors' opinions on the ending of like who Andy should end up with. Like, if you're like not really enjoying acting against someone, you're probably not going to be like pulling for them to end up together in the end. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't, but it does feel like, I mean, Ducky just feels very immature. I feel Ducky feels immature in the way that he's like just so over the top and like outlandish in everything he does, and he's so reactionary with his feelings. But Blaine feels immature emotionally in that, like, he'll let his friends dictate who he can go out with,
which is again speaks to the whole immaturity and of, you know, teenagers thinking that the be all and end all is popularity and friendship. Like, I think that's like a very common theme back in the 80s, at the very least. Like, I mean, it is the Breakfast Club, right? Like, it's all about that kind of like perception of you in the context of high school and things. I guess, I don't know, like with Ducky and the immaturity, do you ever watch Sister Sister?
Of course I did.
It's like Roger, like the neighbor that's like kind of always like making the jokes and stuff, is always dismissive, but occasionally comes out with a real gem of just, you know, loyalty and protectiveness and stuff like that. But I think the difference with that is that Roger was like younger, so it's much more easy to dismiss.
Right.
Whereas
right.
when they're about the same age, it's just, it's a weird vibe.
He drives past her house on his bike 100 times a day.
Yeah.
That's too much.
The phone calls as well.
That
was messages.
So cringy. Ugh. It was so cringy. It's just too much. And like, listen, if Ducky was a real person, I would hope that like when he got a little older, he would realize like that was not right. Like that was too much for me to be doing. And it's obviously Claire's right about Andy, but it's just like, and it's sweet, him showing up at the prom for her. Like, all of that is sweet, but it's also, like, I don't know. Does he make it up in the end by being like, hey, by the way, Blaine showed up here alone. Like, I'll get it if you want to go be with him. Like, you know, one self.
I don't think that's enough. It's not enough redemption, though. Like, I kind of feel like for him to have full redemption, it's not just, you know, giving up the girl and realizing, and I don't know. I think as well it's a bad choice because obviously I don't think that her and Blaine should be together. But like, I don't think that's enough to really redeem Ducky. Like, what would have been great for like Ducky's character arc is if he came to this realization that he has a crush on her, but he has to respect her wishes and move on from it. And like, maybe it's like, I don't know. Maybe if in being distraught about the whole Blaine thing and stuff, she does the whole, I don't know, you know, hugs Ducky and maybe there's a lingering moment and he's like, no, not like this. we're not gonna have, you know, the emotional kiss that you regret or whatever like that. And it's like, or I don't know, like, that's clunky. I don't know, I just feel like he could have had something of a realization about himself that would have made that, you know, him pointing out that Blaine was here by himself just be a bit more impactful. I think if it's just in the moment of just, oh, give her up, like it's too fleeting. It's not like a substantial change that's taken effect. Feels like possibly a poor decision in the moment kind of thing. So yeah, nothing really lands that well. And that's, I think, is the problem, is there's, yeah, everything. I kind of just want everything to just be a little neater in terms of why people are doing what they're doing and it matching up, obviously, with our sense of morality in like a more modern day setting of just, yeah, maybe let's not make it so that the guy who's rich is, you know, the ultimate catch and that's the happy ending. Yeah, I would just like all these people to just realize maybe they're better off with other people or perhaps even being alone and that being okay. I think that would be a much nicer message, which is probably the antithesis of what a rom-com should be.
Sure.
But I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Well, should we talk about some of our stuff here? Should we say, let's transition over. You had me at the most romantic moment or best grand gesture. This is a tough one. I don't think anything Blaine does is enough for me. I don't even think his, like, it's not even an apology is the thing. When he whispers in her ear, it doesn't feel like enough. He says, you said you couldn't be with someone who didn't believe in you. Well, I believed in you. I just didn't believe in me. I love you always. That's nothing. That's nothing to me. There's no I'm sorry. There's no I was an asshole. Nothing. I don't think it's enough for me. I feel like, you know, part of me wants to pick the toxic masculinity of Ducky beating the shit out of Steph. But I like Ducky showing up at the prom for Andy. I don't know that anything beats that because it feels selfless. And I thought his outfit was like cute. I don't know. I there's not a ton to pick from here, people.
Yeah, it really is rough. Yeah, I feel like I shouldn't, but I'm gonna pick Ducky going after Steph and like trying to beat him up because
it's
awful. And I think it's less of, I mean, it was, I guess, in a way, a romantic gesture because he's sticking up for the woman he loves. Kind of
he's defending her honor.
But I'm gonna give it more points for, you know, he tried to take a swing at the rich. Go for it.
Yeah. Eat the rich. Beat James Spader. He's the fucking lizard king.
I tell you one thing. Like, James Spader, when I saw the cast list when I was watching this, and then saw it, I was like, oh, yeah, James Spader. Oh, okay. He looks, yeah, I see that. Then I realized Blaine is not James Spader. They look so similar.
Do they?
But then when James Spader turns up,
you're like, oh yeah, that's him.
That's him. Yeah, yeah. That's him.
He's blonde.
But that's the first part of it, I was like, yeah, that's James Spader. Yeah,
he originally, I guess, they wanted him for Blaine, I think, but he was like, nah, I want to be the villain. I want to be Steph. And I was like,
he plays a really good villain.
He really does. He's the fucking Lizard King. He knows what he's doing. Tell me you get that reference. You do.
You sure?
I can't with you. Oh my god.
What is this I've not watched?
Oh, it's from The Office. Are you serious?
Oh yes. Sorry, yes. Thingy. Yeah. Sorry, I'm just not getting the reference.
I almost just had to leave. Switched on. Yes. Just letting you know. Yeah, I almost had to just leave.
He's a really awful boss that like takes over like regional level, right?
Yes. Yeah. Takes over for Michael Scott. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I'm still recovering. It's okay. We'll move forward to the meet cute or meet creep meter. It's just getting out of it being Red Flag City. Like, is there anything that anyone does that is good?
No.
Yeah, it's so bad.
The thing is though. Yeah. I did enjoy this film more than Merv.
Sure. I mean, I can move it ahead of Merv on the
breath. Yeah, I'll take that. Yeah. But yeah, it is absolutely in Red Flag City. And I know this isn't the metric of like which is a better film, but just my gut is like, ugh.
No, I think at the very least, there's more. Okay. There's more chemistry, I would say. Because Andy and Blaine are both boring. But they're boring together. The kisses weren't atrocious. And I feel like Andy and Ducky have
sense in their personalities.
Yeah. I think there's more chemistry, which is what I'm looking for. And the fact that they're also in high school. So, like, their actions are more forgivable, I feel like.
Yes.
Listen, I will justify it anyway. Anyway, I get it on a fucking Merv.
They're not. If they bought a dog to try and fix their problems, absolutely. Like, it'd be down in that, like, the depths of Mervville. But yeah, I mean, I think they get a slight little forgiveness for being stupid and young.
So funny. I just can't. It's just. We're scraping the bottom. Okay, now let's move on to the best in showmance. This is where things I think are gonna get interesting. Because like I don't know man, it's not good. I wanted it to be better than it was, and it wasn't good. Okay, let me think this through. I enjoyed it more than I enjoyed Merv. I think partly because, and Merv had a dog in it. That's how bad Merv was. Partly, there was a dog in Pretty Pink actually too. Partly because I think the time capsule of it all, I think the outfits, the right? Like, I think the fashion is like, not always good, but it's interesting to look at. I also think I enjoyed Iona and Ducky more than I enjoyed any characters in Merv. So I think it has that going for it. But I don't think it's even remotely close to the wrong Paris. Like, that's where we're going. Like, it is between Merv and the wrong Paris in my brain. And so I think ultimately, I'm going to call it, what did I give Merv, a 2? I think I'm going to call it a 2.5. I don't think it's very good.
Wow.
And it stinks to say that because I like Molly Ringwald. I just think, like, in the grand scheme of John Hughes, Molly Ringwald joints, this is not it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about you, Stuart?
I mean, I'm in a similar kind of pickle in the sense of, I mean, as with you, Merv is my lowest rated.
Mm-hmm.
I have taste, therefore the wrong Paris is quite high up on my rankings. So my next highest is Say Anything. I was thinking, like, it's interesting that, like, the two 80s picks I think are, like, in mind are vying for contention of, like, kind of, I think they're close.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that because I scored Say Anything a little too high? Yes.
Yeah. It was the first one. You're getting your bearings. Yeah. You know?
But on reflection, I kind of look back at Say Anything and, like, yeah, it had its problems. But I feel like it was a much better watch of a film. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like it flowed a little bit, a little long, but...
Sure, this one, the runtime was good on this one. So we can give it that.
Didn't feel it at some points, though. I was a bit Judge Judy-ing. I was like, come on, let's get this going. There's only so much of Molly Ringwald looking sad that I can tolerate.
Yeah.
Even though she's wonderful. I think that Say Anything is a much easier watch. I think it's much more rootable for the romance, despite, again, problems there. I think Lloyd is a so much more, like, likable character.
It's true.
It's got much better jokes. Certainly so much more calm than this. Like, Molly Ringwald brings zero com at all. It's all John Cryer. It's the only real comedy in this entire film that's been carried by one character, whereas the others have, like, funny moments the whole way through. And if I'm judging this as a rom-com, I have to take it lower than Say Anything, which I think is not where I was going to go when I first did this, because I was like, on reflection, it's actually not that bad a film. I'm going to give it 3.5. which feels really bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I'm going to have to go that low for it because it's not better than Say Anything. And I did not think I would ever say that of a John Hughes film. Like, it's so strange going back to these and seeing how kind of, like, thoughts change and perspectives on them. And I feel, I don't know, I feel as if I've done a disservice to the 80s with my pick here because we could have redeemed it. Because Say Anything, it wasn't that great.
I think,
and there were so much better contenders.
I think what we're learning, though, is that, like, the 80s stuff just doesn't always hold up well.
Yeah. Right?
Like, that is, it's a product of its time. And it's unfortunate because neither of our 80s movies scored very well. We're both the highest on 10 Things I Hate About You, which is obviously from the 90s. I think the aughts performed admirably. I don't think they're, like, that problematic. You hate The Holiday, and that was felt in your scoring.
It's perhaps a bit harsh on it, but...
Yeah, I think a modern day film like Merv struggles because... things have been done so time and time again, right? Like, almost every rom-com has been told at this point. So beyond the lack of chemistry and all the other issues that film had, I just think, like, it's the wrong pair is the reason it's so fun. And it stands out against some of these others is, like, it's shticky and it leans in, and not every one of these does that. So I don't know.
I feel like we've gone to, like, through a point where, like, I feel like the 80s, 90s, even the noughties, they're on cruise control when it comes to what is a rom-com. Whereas when you get into the 2010s, 2020s, you have to start reinventing what it is. Like, you have to really reevaluate and try and give the audiences something new. Thus, we get things like Easy A, which is a big swing in terms of, like, you know, self-referential, very of the times. And then you also get things like The Wrong Paris, which, again, big swing in terms of, like, mocking itself and, like, being a bit of a joke kind of film. But sadly, you do get things like Merv then, which I will take as a big swing because, I mean, if you put it on paper, I mean, like, Dog is Depressed. No one's ever thought to make a rom-com about that, right? So yeah. It's a big swing. So I have to give it some credit for, like, that being admirable. It sure. Just doesn't execute well. And it's something that more modern films just have it tougher because they have so much more to compete with. They have so much, like, and that's not just in terms of, like, the history of, like, everything that's come before. They have, you know, different streaming platforms, Hallmark are removing God knows how many rom-coms every single weekend, I'm sure it seems, on whatever streaming things they've got. So you've got, like, I-span attention, like, kind of, like, you're competing with as well. So you're going to have stinkers like Merv, and people like us are going to, like, target it and take the piss out of it as much as we can.
Yeah, seriously.
But, yeah. But, like, when you come back to the 80s and you get something like this, and we start scrutinizing it under, I think, more scrutiny than what we did the more modern ones.
Because it's a John Hughes movie. Like, it's just, it has the, like, I don't know if cachet is the word. It just has, like, the John Hughes. It's supposed to be good. It has Molly Ringwald. It has John Cryer. Like, it's supposed to be good. Merv feels like a fucking joke. Like, before, same with The Wrong Paris, right? Like, it feels like a joke. Pretty in Pink, I think we take it, and it has just the notoriety that I think some of these other ones don't have. And so, yeah, it just I think it ends up falling a little flat, being a little disappointing. But a lot of it, I think, is also just our how we're viewing these things now, right? Like, we don't want women to end up with shitty men. It's just, we don't find stalking cute or adorable. I think our standards are a little different. And I also think, like, a pretty face doesn't do, you know what I mean? You need the chemistry, you need the, like, the wit, the personality that I don't think Blaine had at the very least.
Yeah.
And I think Molly Ringwald's tough because I do think she has personality. I do think, but I think she's a soft personality. And up against Blaine, it's just much of the same.
Yeah, I think a lot of our strengths, which are displayed so well in The Breakfast Club, are shown in contrast to, obviously, God, I can't remember his name.
I don't know his name either. Yeah.
But yeah, like, it's always in contrast. Whereas this, she's playing against the mirror.
Bender. Of her. That's it.
Yeah, like, the whole... like, she needs something to bounce off of. And yeah, this just isn't it. This is why you don't let actors do casting. This is why you have casting directors.
Yeah.
Let people do their jobs.
Yeah.
Sorry,
would you like
Molly Ringwald, if you're listening, which you want?
Yes, she's definitely listening. Overall, so on average, your average score was 7.13.
That's pretty high.
It's pretty high. And I will say we're almost in lockstep. Mine is an 8.50. So, like, we're not that different. Yeah. It's not that big of a difference.
The wonders of The Wrong Paris bumping mine up. And
so true, though. But that's kind of our experiment. That's our season one. And, like, we want to know. We're obviously going to take some time. But if you have suggestions for what we should do for a season two, other themes, other ideas, send them in. You know how to hit us up. You had Meat Pod, of course.
Yeah.
We actually had a friend the other day reach out and say, I've been listening to Meat Pod, and it killed me that it is, like, in the zeitgeist that it's just called Meat Pod.
So stupid. I feel like I should refer to the listeners as our little meaties.
Our little meat podlings. Yeah, little meaties.
Our little charcuteries. Cuties.
Our charcuteries.
Cuties.
That's so great. Oh, so I love lame. That. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's our season one, Stuart.
Wow. Season one in the bank. Yeah, we have, yeah, as you mentioned, no real idea of what to do for season two. So if you've got any suggestions, we really would appreciate them. But like, I think this experiment in rom-coms has been interesting. Like, I love the fact that we've gone like through the decades and we've been able to really compare them. I feel like, I don't know, I feel like we got good data out of it. I mean, who doesn't love a good, good bit of data?
I think I've also kind of learned that I don't really, I mean, I didn't learn this, I already knew it. I don't love movies as much as I love TV. Like, I knew this.
Yeah.
But like, I love TV in a way that I just will never love movies. And I understand the argument for like, you get an hour and a half to 2 hours, the whole story is wrapped up, blah, la la. The amount of times I have had this conversation with my husband of, hey, do you want to watch a movie? And I'm like, I'm not really feeling it. But I'll watch like 7 episodes of a television show right now.
Yeah. It's just such a different level of pacing. You get to explore things in much more detail.
Yeah.
And like, it's so strange. A movie feels like a commitment, whereas like, just one more episode, it's like so much easier. And I think covering from a podcast perspective as well, like, there have been times where like I tend to watch these immediately after finishing work and then before we record, so it's like fresh in the mind kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, if I did that with Schitt's Creek, I could bang that out like half hour before. Like, yeah. Incredible. Now I've got to dedicate 2+ hours sometimes. Yeah. Outrageous.
And we're only doing it every other week, but also it's a movie. It just feels long. I don't know.
Oh, it's so tough doing this job. Oh, God.
My butt hurts from sitting in my chair. No, it's fine. But if you do have suggestions, please do send them in. You had Meat Pod. You know where to hit us up. We have a link tree. It's a whole thing. Because we want to know. And we do have something cooking behind the scenes that is different, very different than this, I would say. We'll definitely put something out in the feed once we have more. But we're in the process of recording. It is going to be an editing labor of love, though, so much different than this, which is kind of just slap an intro and outro on it and out it goes.
As we started working on it, we've done some recording of it, and let's just say I downloaded all the files for it and I was like, where's all my storage gone? I now have to edit this.
You got to get that extra, what is it, SSD? I don't know what I have, but I have a lot of extra storage
SSD.
Now.
SSD.
Once I got up the courage to open my computer up, which was, I put it off for months. I was so scared. I didn't want to open it. It's terrifying to me. I'm going to break something.
Yeah. Hearing the horror story that was you trying to put that drive into your computer just gave me nightmares.
And in such a me move. At some point in the past, I had already done this and I had an extra one in there. And I wish I could understand my brain. If someone could scan my brain and just be like, this is why you are this way, I would appreciate it, because there's nothing happening up here. Like, there's everything happening up here and simultaneous, just like nothing happening, you know? Like, things just shoot out of my brain to be lost to the world, never found again.
Let's just be thankful that you're not the mysterious guy who doesn't talk with nothing going on in the brain.
Yes, but I had so many crushes on that guy. Like, I can't tell you. My entire high school existence was like, but that guy's so deep and mysterious.
What are you thinking about? Just thinking, did I install that? Drive it to my computer?
No, he definitely was thinking, I can't wait until school is done so I can go smoke pot. Like, 1,000%. Like, for me, it was like the skater kids. Like, the skater kids who were quiet.
The mysterious skater kids.
Mysterious skater kids. Yeah. Partly probably influenced by Avril Lavigne, not gonna lie. But also...
said to you later, boy.
Yeah, really was like, look at him. He's so quiet and mysterious. Like, can I tell you? Did I tell you? I think I said this somewhere. So you may be hearing this for a second time. You know who gives me big, like, no thoughts, head empty, but everyone loves him and thinks he's mysterious? You know who gives me this energy big time?
I don't want to say names in case I offend someone.
Oh, but no, it says it's a reality TV person, not an actual person.
Oh.
Rob Roush
from The Traitors.
From The Traitors. He gives big, like, he loves snakes. Like, that's his thing. But beyond snake facts, there's nothing happening up there. It's just snake facts, and that's it. And everyone's like, look at him. He's so hot.
It's why he was so good at the trailers. He had so much, like, spare computational power just, like, to draw upon. Yeah.
I just really think that. And all love to him, you know. I just think, like, he likes snakes. And that's all that's going on. Like, he just really likes them. And it's just like, well, okay. And he likes overalls. Like, can we please have higher standards, women? Can we as a species just agree that we should have higher standards than a hot guy in overalls who likes snakes? I don't mean to be rude. But come on.
Are you talking about women or just Maura?
Her too. Girl, she's so hot. She could get anybody. She wore like full on latex, like a whole ass latex outfit. Like, get it, girl. You know?
Those gloves, like with her skinny little arms, like as like, if she's covering a gold mouth. Covering her mouth. It's just, iconic.
Yeah. I just think we need to, as a species, we need higher standards. Okay. And like, listen, maybe that guy is quiet because he's dark and mysterious and broody, but I feel like that's, you're like, you hear like hooves and you think zebras. You know what I mean? I feel like 10% of the time, maybe that's true, but like 90% of the time, it's just a fucking horse. Okay.
Is that a common phrase? I've never heard that before in my life. Oh yeah, that's
a
thing.
I hear hooves and I think zebras. It's like, no, it's probably just a fucking horse. Like, what are the chances it's a zebra? Or a zebra, a zebra.
Oh, translation.
Now you know. Yeah. Now you get it. Yeah. Anyway, we've gotten off. I don't even know how we landed really here. Have. How did we get here? ADHD?
You installing a hard drive got us onto the traitors.
I've said this before, I'll say it again. I just need to send these podcasts to my doctor as proof of ADHD. Enough with the testing. Because
they're going to go, yeah, you need to go away from the enabler that is your podcast co-host.
Also, you've been diagnosed with 7 other mental health issues in the course of one podcast. I don't know. Recently, you said the whole world is sad and it's, hopeless. Maybe you're also depressed. Anyway, joke's on you. That's already in my chart. Anyway, okay. I don't know. I don't have anything else to say. I really think I should leave now.
We're really struggling. We have no outro. We have no like real quotes from this film. There's nothing to quote. This
you
film
know what?
Is atrocious
no,
there's for that.
Nothing to quote here. I did love John Cryer when he gets thrown into the women's bathroom saying, "We don't have a candy machine in our bathroom."
That was really funny. Yeah,
and it was improv too. That wasn't probably, even
was it?
Oh. Yep. Good on him.
Nice of there to be some calm in this rom-com.
Exactly.
And we're back onto the film.
There we go. You know what? Until season 2, everyone, our little shark cuties, stay meaty. Bye.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.